the Golden Dawn is that you decide where the Aquarian card is. For instance, if I am a Libra and I'm asking about love, and I go to Israel Rigardi, Dion Fortune, any of the Golden Dawn members if they were alive, and I said, I want to know about my love life. I am so in love with the sky and everything like that. And they would divide the tarot cards into four packs. Now, they'll ask me my sign. I'm a Libra. So, I should be in the area of water. Okay? Now, the area of water should have the Queen of Swords there. So they divide the tarot pack and into four sections and face down. Then they go through each section to find the Queen of Swords. They go through fire. No Queen of Swords there. They go through the pack that's designated water. No Queen of Swords there. Sorry. The question is not meant to be asked at this time. Go find yourself another reader. Do you find that interesting?
Uh-huh.
It is not meant to be known about your love life. Of course, we would never be able to do much with the tarot because, you know, the odds of always getting the
why did you use the Queen of Swords?
Because I'm a Libra. I use myself as an example. So whatever sun sign you are, the court card that signifies you is your significator should be in one of the four piles that is ruled by fire, water, air, or earth, depending upon your question. If you're asking about business, what sign are you? David?
I'm Capricorn, so I would be king of Earth, I suppose.
Right. Okay, so you should be, if you're asking about business, David comes to me and asks about business, you should be in the pile of Earth. You should be in the stack of cards of where the pentacles reside. If your king of pentacles is not in the section designated of Earth, then you're not meant to ask your business question. Am I clear on this? People following me? Okay. So that's where the inspiration came from for this little expansion on the Golden Dawn technique. You read the elemental power spread.
That would be a good way to... you charge a person for a reading, and then you give them you do this Golden Dawn reading thing out, and you say, "Well, I'm sorry, the reading is that I can't do a reading right now."
Or suppose you're having trouble.
You cycle through more clients that way.
You may go through more clients, but suppose you're having trouble really getting to the core of the situation. We've all had done readings like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Now, another thing with the Golden Dawn is then they would take where that stack and do a reading only from that stack where the significator is.
If you do the reading at all.
If you do the reading at all. But also, this is a way in which if you're truly having problems with a client,
uh-huh.
and, oh, please, then you can resort to this type of reading.
Ah.
And the client, and how could the client argue with you? It's not meant to be known at this time.
Now, can you still collect this fee? Because that's in fact a reading telling them it's not meant to be known at this time.
Right. And I always say, you're not paying me for my reading, you're paying me for my time and effort. So I don't, that type of thing. It's not the, I don't get paid for readings for legality reasons. I get paid for my time. Now, the elemental power spread is read as the Tetragrammaton.
Uh-huh.
Yod, He, Vav, He. As you can see, card one is your area of fire and would be in the technique I use, the area of wands. And it is actually the environment, it's actually the physicality of the person. What they are experiencing at that time, what actually got them there, you know, that type of thing. I mean, you can read this position in several levels. Their environment, their bodily experience, their health, and whatever they consider a physical reality. And it is uncanny how this area of fire truly can tell you a lot right away about the person. Just walk through the door that you don't know anything about. Now, here we have this area. Now, fire is ruled by salamanders. The elemental creatures that are part of the alchemy and the Paracelsus. Am I pronouncing his name right, Paul?
Good enough. We get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paracelsus.
And his alchemical system of the elements and their creatures. Now, a little discussion on the elemental creatures. When a ceremonial magician summons, or rather casts a circle and summons the angelic forces, the angelic forces basically, they put to work their little slaves, which are the elemental creatures. Okay? They're the managers. You know, the angelic forces are the managers, and it's the salamanders, undines, sylphs, and good old gnomes that go out and do the grunt work.
So you have your salamanders under fire. If you could review all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Salamanders are our fire. Gnomes are our earth.
Sylphs are air.
Sylphs are air.
And undines are water.
I've been saying it wrong. Undines are water. Thank you, Johanna. Thank you for clarifying.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will tell you, little magic that I have done is that they do exist. They do exist, and they never really go away. Once you learn, do any magic, you sort of know that they're there. They sort of take up residence. I will tell a little side note. A ceremonial magician friend did a releasement ritual for someone I am very close to, and it was a releasement of Saturnian influences in their lives. So it was a Saturn ritual. So it's like opening up the lead box and letting the energies out. The day afterwards, I didn't know that she did the ritual. The day afterwards, I saw blue specks in the air. Blue little specks all over the place. I said, something happened. And I called her and she confirmed that she did do the Saturn ritual, and it was, she got a very positive result from it. And sure enough, I saw the energy of the sylphs.
Oh, so those are the blue lights?
The blue lights, yeah.
And this is air?
Air. They didn't stay around. They did their work and they disappeared. One day I had this, and then they were, you know, it is totally amazing. The same thing with gnomes.
How do they appear?
Gnomes appear, well, you will, believe it or not, gnomes are very interesting. Keys. You will hear the tinkling of a keys, specifically keys.
They're good at hiding them, too.
They're good at hiding the keys. Yeah. They're good at,
they've been around me a lot.
Oh, please. And you have to throw coins in the corner. You have to talk to them. They can be chatty at times. You know, you got to acknowledge them, you know, gnomes. They everyone has a house gnome.
But they can be pushy, too.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. When they don't like their environment, they will let you know.
I've been listening to a tape from Sounds True, and I'm not going to remember the name of the psychologist who put the tape together, but it's called Pending Dreams. And it's basically a tape on how he does dream work. And one of the things he says, which is very profound, that I think we as tarot readers should remember, particularly when we get into the magical aspects of tarot, is he talked about how everything in the world was alive. Now, stated that way, it sounds extremely abstract, you know. But what he really means is that if you treat everything in your life, I mean, and it can be anything, any object, level of object, man-made or natural-made, you can create a personal, you can invoke the spirit of that thing. The story, he tells the story about a woman who was a real estate person who didn't have friends as a child, and as a child she used to pretend that the houses were her friends. And each house she would pass by, she would imagine it, and she would ask it in her mind how she liked the houses. So years later, she had this ability to buy and sell houses and do it very well, because the houses knew, at a very deep level, that she understood that they were a living entity. And we can treat all of our things like that. I know I treat my automobiles that way. First thing I do when I get a new automobile is I ask its name.
Yes.
And I tell you the names that my automobiles tell me, as opposed to me naming them.
Right.
Are pretty bizarre. But, I think that the idea of the gnomes and the elementals are just another way of approaching this livingness of things.
Yes. And I do name my automobiles also. I name all my cats, tell me their names. And what's so interesting is they answer to the names they tell me. And you know about naming animals. They don't know, you know, cats are not like dogs. They can be very particular.
Exactly.
There are many stories, many fairy tales that speak of the elemental creatures.
Yes.
You may want to research on your own some of, or recall some of the fairy tales. I mean, we all know about the negative aspect of gnomes, like in Rumpelstiltskin.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know of the wonderful, well, they're called dwarves in Snow White, the seven dwarves, but they really are gnomes. And we, many of us know of the Little Mermaid as an Undine, but there is one of the most horrific diseases. It's called Undine's Curse. which is an extreme form of deadly sleep apnea. Because there is a fairy tale about an Undine who was jilted and wound up cursing a lover. That if he would sleep, he would die. So that's where the Undine's curse comes from. The sylphs are interesting. They can drive you crazy. Okay? Sylphs have a tendency, the voices, you know, the schizophrenic voices and things like that, can be part of negative sylph magic.
Can we talk a little more about the positive? What might be positive about
that? Oh, well, I just want to show there's different things that could indicate the positions of the cards, that the placements. The placement itself can have a both positive and negative aspect to it. But also angelic forces could be a sylph-like,
mm-hmm.
a positive thing. And the salamanders. Salamanders can be considered like the precursors of dragons. They could defend. They can be they are also
bodyguards.
Like bodyguards, yes. So they could be defending creatures. In medieval heraldry, dragons are there to protect the family as a symbol.
How do they appear?
Well, in this modern day and age, with my friends, this one ceremonial magician, every time we saw a fire engine, we said the salamanders are at work. That was our cue. Every time we saw firemen, but the firemen had to really cross our paths to know whether the salamanders were dealing or working. Excuse me?
Jay, what about, you know about Fintorn and the fairies of the vegetables, the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I forget the name of the woman now, but many people were in contact with them in a very positive way.
Out in Scotland. I think it was in Scotland.
The Prince of Wales is very active in that community.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the Hay House people. Where would you put fairies?
Fairies would be sylphs.
Oh, good. Okay.
Fairies and sylphs go hand in hand.
Okay, fine.
Okay?
Yeah.
And, so not only does the position, speak of what each one is designated, but you have positive and negative aspects within the placement of each card to be read within that position. Am I clear on that one? Everyone understand that? Okay. Now, let's go.
You could look at a person and say that person is reflecting a gnome energy or sylph energy or an undine energy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Physicality. The physicality of a person. Who was it? Audrey Hepburn, the actress. Am I dating myself? Or how many people know Audrey Hepburn?
Oh,
everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She was in a movie in which she played a sylph. Or I think a sylph, not an undine, but she is either one. Both of the female creatures are not heavy creatures. They're very light and thin and anorexic type. You know what I'm saying? Elongated. The salamanders are creatures. An animal. It is an animal, a lizard-like animal, and they appear as that. And the gnomes, as we know, are short, ugly people.
Tolkien's hobbits are the gnomes?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they would be under gnomes, yeah.
Okay, so they're male and female.
Yeah, male and female. Mm-hmm. So,
be a fun thing to do is take the movie stars and place them into these categories.
Yeah, that's a nice exercise to do,
yeah.
And see what comes of it, so that you have a visualization,
right,
of the elemental powers here. Now, let's go further. Let's go now to the second position of water. Intuition, feeling, needs, all the needs. Oh boy. Needs, uncertainty, and the emotional reality. Now, you know what I'm talking about when I say needs.
Yeah.
That goes down to the core of primal existence. You need shelter, you need food, you need transportation. As long as the needs are filled, you should be a happy camper. Okay. But is that always the case?
Well, isn't it relative? I mean, nobody gets all of their needs filled completely. Sort of relative. You get your needs sort of like, you know, a good enough mothering. This is sort of good enough needs fulfillment. Yeah, you know, just, you know, you just get enough. Some people may get more than others.
Okay.
Other people may just get enough, and some people don't get enough.
Well, now we have the bridge to cross. Do you see that there's a larger gap there between... The bridge is between the emotional aspect of water and needs and the thought processes of wants.
Mm-hmm.
That's where... Most people go wrong.
Thought process of swords, right?
Yep. The position of air, swords. Thoughts, questionings, conflicts, conflicting. What wants? Communicative and reality. The communicative reality of the mind. And the bridge between water and air is... where most people go wrong in their lives. The distinguishing between needs and wants. I am a young lady looking for love in my life, looking for someone to love me. I know everyone's done love clients, right? I think everyone has at least had one love client in their life. And they don't understand why. They're very attractive. And then what happens is that when a guy comes around to fulfill all their needs, it's the wants. But he doesn't... Oh, I don't like his hair color. Oh, he doesn't have enough money. I want, you know, that type of thing. Oh, he uses a toothpick to pick his teeth, you know, something. You know, I don't want a man like that. They never say I don't need a man like that.
Well, who would?
You get where I'm coming from, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
The position of needs and wants is where the compromise comes in. Where everyone who's been married more than 20 years knows what I'm talking about. Because it is usually the situation. Cynthia and I have always had this conversation because we've been married a very long time. Not to each other, but to our mates.
Yeah, David.
And David, too. David.
Years, right?
You understand what I'm talking about? Because we all age, we all change, and to have a sustainable relationship, The person needs to distinguish between needs and wants. So that's where there's a gap between the two. It's a visual cue for you to understand that this is a major spiritual development situation.
There's a lot of foam there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A mixture of air and water.
Yep.
Well, needs are very subtle and wants are out there.
Yeah. Oh, well, everyone will tell you what they want.
Yeah.
Wants are easy. I mean, especially in America, we got a consumeristic attitude. Wants are there. I want. And I got news for you. That could drive you crazy. Remember, it's in the area of air and the sylphs.
That's right where the Buddha is. You know, desire is misery.
Yep. And the sylphs with the nagging thoughts. Remember, the negative sylph energy.
Oh, sylphs with the nagging thoughts. So they're the negative chatter?
Negative chatter. They could be negative chatter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They could also be other kinds of chatter too. They could be seductive chatter. They could be delusions of grandeur chatter. I get a lot of that.
Okay, great. Okay, and now we are going to the area of Earth. Now remember your tetragrammaton also, people, when you're dealing with this. Does anyone need a explanation of the tetragrammaton?
Please.
It's the four letters that comprise the sacred name of the Lord, the God. They're unpronounceable. No one really knows how to pronounce them. It compromises the essence of the Creator in Hebrew letters.
Say that again, Jay.
It compromises the essence of the Creator. Comprises. It is like a glyph, a sigil of the creative energy of Jehovah. And it's red, and as it should be, it's red in the Hebrew. And I kept the dignities there. Because I didn't want to. And also, there's another aspect. I was taught that the future is always on the left side. Over the left eye. That if you wanted to project something into the future, it's your left side. It runs from right to left.
That's interesting. I've done a similar thing, not from ceremonial magic, but that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, several schools say that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here we have the number four position of Earth is an integration of the three previous cards. What is, now people can say, well, this could be your immediate result, the immediate. You could think of it as the immediate result. You know, okay, this is what's going to happen within the next, this is how it's going to work out. But it's not really the outcome. It is just, okay, and basically this is where you're at. With all these energies. This is what all these energies are saying. This is what you're experiencing or you're going to experience with all these energies. But it's not the outcome. It's the effect. And how the all the energies come together and function. What is the doozy here, if I may use a very technical term, very technical esoteric term, the doozy, is the hidden motivation. Ah! When you do a reading and you put that fifth card, really says it all. Where the person is coming from, how it's, why they're there. Is it selfish? Is it spiritually elevating? You know, not everyone's motivations are wonderful. Especially if they're asking a love question about a certain person and you find out and you get the devil card there and you're saying, oh boy, what does that mean? You know what I'm saying? That's a good
maybe
one.
Maybe they're obsessed.
Excuse me?
That maybe they're obsessed.
Obsessed? It's not healthy?
Mm-hmm. Or maybe the object of love is already married?
Yes.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah? I cannot tell you.
That question.
We're going to do a spread. So be ready. We're going to ask a question. I don't know, Paul, do you want to ask a generic question, or would you like them to do a just their own personal question?
Why don't we do one in common?
Okay.
To go through it, and then if we've got the time, we can each do our own.
Okay.
And discuss it.
And here we have number 6, the outcome. After all said and done, I mean, it may be the devil's there. Maybe there's all a lot of problems. Maybe the outcome will be great. Does that mean the person's going to get what they want? Or what they need? We don't know. That's up to the universe. And even if they get what they want, suppose they got the lightning struck tower up there. You have to read that in conjunction with the 5, the 4, and the 6 have to be read in conjunction with each other.
Okay.
Because then you'll get the true, as we say, precognitive aspect.
Makes a nice little triangle, too.
Mm-hmm. And it points directly to the future.
Okay.
So now this is the basic elemental power spread. There is another section to it, but I figured that if we may do this again sometime, and then we could go on to the other aspect of it. I mean, of the elemental power spread, but this is it.
It's interesting because you have the triangle that you, I don't know who said that, was it Val or maybe? The triangle that was 5, 4, and 6,
mm-hmm.
pointing to the future.
Right.
You also have a triangle that came from the past, and it'd be 6, 5, and 1.
Right.
And that's a very interesting triangle as well.
Very, very observant. David, thank you. Yeah.
Can we get another geometric figure just from the points, the corner points, from 4 to 6 to 1 to 5 and back to 4?
Mm-hmm. 4, 6, 1, 5. Yes, you get a diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or a hologram, right?
Yeah.
That's very... You know, and cut a diamond that shape in half. Yeah, you're two triangles.
And Paul, you're the expert with the hermeneutics. Okay. Any questions here? Any?
Very interesting. Let's play.
You want to play?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Paul.
So do we have a question in mind?
Nope. Nobody ever has questions in mind, Paul.
This is a general
question. The simplest question is ask this array to illuminate this array.
Okay.
I always like to be infinitely self-reflective.
Ask this array to tell us about itself.
Yeah, you know, in other words, you know, we heard Johanna's thing, and maybe it wants to tell us, emphasize something else about.
Okay. So this basically has to deal, how does this array work for the individual? The reader, you know, how would it work? I mean, everyone's going to get different cards, right?
Yeah.
So
why don't we do one reading where we just deal with one person's draw?
Well, what I wanted to ask Jay is, Johanna, when do you find this kind of reading to be most useful in your practice?
I always do it. That's my initial reading. That is the first reading I do, because it's easy to lay out. If I don't know the client, I know the client.
Right.
I got news for you. I know the client.
Right, right.
I don't have to go around saying, what about this? No, this will tell you the person.
Okay, so we're not going to do the four packs. We're going to shuffle and
right.
Move away and lay the card out.
Yeah, the four packs was just the inspiration for this.
And the question is, how will the elemental power spread work for me in these different areas?
You like that, Paul?
Basically our question?
Well, let's simplify it a little bit.
Okay.
What does the elemental power spread, what does it want us to notice
Thank
about
you.
Itself before we use it regularly? You know, what does it want to tell us about itself?
Okay. And I'm telling, last week, for those of you who were not here, we used Paul's hermeneutic method.
Uh-huh.
It was fantastic. What results we got, and it was uncanny. Paul, do you want to speak of that? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
We asked the nature of providence and fate.
Oh, yes.
Not one of us received a wand card.
Yes.
And there were about five people on cutting the cards, and we cut them about two or three times. We did two or three times.
Yeah, we thought it was really fascinating that the wands were absent.
Yeah, what's left out, you know, we have really need to spend time on when we do readings. What is the meaning of what's left out?
Yeah.
That's a fascinating conversation, too.
Yes, and this brings us to the next stage of the what cards go into the position and how to read them. So let's get the cards laid out.
So everybody's doing one?
Yes, we're doing that. You're one.
I'm placing my cards. One, two, three. I'm doing it right over your page because I'm using a small deck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Can we turn our cards over? Should we keep them here?
No, turn your cards over.
Okay.
Wow.
And you want us to put out all six, right?
Yeah. Everyone has them out?
Uh-huh.
Are we going to use reversals?
Let's not use reversals right now.
Oh, Johanna, I can't believe this.
I really shouldn't cut the cards. I should just be here to help you through everything.
Well, why don't we discuss, I guess, number one now.
Okay. Should we go down and ask everyone what they got in number one?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay. Position one, I may have to write this down since I am postmenopausal.
Aren't we all?
Right? Goes with the territory. Okay, here we go. Okay, in position one we have... Paul, what do you have?
Page of Swords.
That's not too bad. Okay, because air and fire go feed each other. Cynthia?
I have the Ace of Swords.
David?
I have the Seven of Cups.
Val?
I have Five of Swords.
Jim? Jim's not here? Okay. Bonnie? Oh, Jim?
I'm an interested observer today, or participant by ear, that is.
Okay. Understand. Okay, Bonnie?
Eight of Pentacles.
Zoe?
Seven of Wands.
Oh, Reverend Sue?
Six of Rods. Wands.
Did I miss anyone? Okay, great. Okay, all of you who have...
So we have our pentacle. Thank you, Bonnie.
And I have Two of Wands. First of all, anyone who has wands or swords... It's okay. There's not a conflict in the physical reality of a situation, of the question. The ones who have, like Bonnie, you have the Eight of Pentacles.
Yes.
Now, Eight of Pentacles isn't that bad either. Well, that's volcano. Think of the elements together in nature. David, you have Seven of Cups. That's steam. Okay? Seven. You have water in an area. Now, water can kill fire unless it's contained and fire is given the domination. So it shows you how the energies work. Am I clear on that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, suppose you're doing a reading. Remove yourself from the question now. And say that this is for a person that you know. Look at the card, and what would that say of their physical reality? Paul has a Page of Swords.
Yeah, I would say that's a youthful, exploratory, and with the but also a sense of vigilance, a lot of vigilance, a sense of also perhaps danger.
How are we doing this? We're doing the relationship to the question we posed to Ashley Rhodes to tell us about itself.
Right.
So this isn't our personal.
No, it's not personal. But what I'm trying to give you an overview.
In both ways.
Yeah. Like you're shifting gears.
Like just procrastinating.
Yeah. This is okay. Water. Let's see what we have. Paul.
I want to go back to this question.
Oh yes, dear.
You know, you say the Page of Cups creates steam, and steam could be taken as being cloudy, it could be unclear, or it could be hot and motivated.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
So I'm going to take it either way. So in the case of the array, What is he really telling us about us, then, in that sense? Using my number, my card.
I think we have to finish the array to get a sense of it. Why don't we do one person's? I do have to tell you, for this question, which I saw transpersonally, for the first position, I got Ace of Swords. For the second position, I got Page of Discs. For the third position, I got...
Wait. Let me just...
What I'm saying, I got a ton of majors and, an ace and a page. So it was like a heavy-duty transpersonal spread. I don't take it personally. I'm saying it. I think it really addresses you.
Okay. That this would be a good spread for you to use.
And given this question, given our question, does anybody feel strongly about the way their cards fell out?
Yes.
Well, mine came out with a lot of majors too. I got four majors.
Yes. You know, when you ask a transpersonal question, you get a really wow.
I think
it's powerful reading.
The two court cards and only one pip. Out of all of those six cards.
Yeah, I think that the cards are speaking to each individual for some reason.
All right.
I don't know why I'm getting that very closely.
All right, so why don't you take Paul's reading and read it both ways for us?
Okay. Paul, give me your cards.
That makes more
all
sense
right, so
than everybody.
All right, so the first one was Page of Swords.
Right.
The second one is the Lovers, the Water. The third one was the King of Wands.
Uh-huh.
And the fourth one was Judgment. And the Hidden Motivations was the Sun. And the outcome was the Five of Swords.
That's very interesting.
Yes, it is.
Okay. If we take the Page of Swords as we have the Lovers. Okay, we did the Page of Swords. The Page of Swords in the area of fire. I would read as that in your physical body, you have to be hypervigilant. Okay.
But how is that transpersonal?
How does it relate to the elemental?
What's the elemental array saying about itself?
About itself
is the Page of Swords. I think it's very communicative. I think that the elemental array says yes. This is a way of communicating. Remember the position of pages in the royal court. They were servants to the knights.
Yeah, so it's sort of saying that, you see the first question as a servant to everything that follows.
Yes.
Yeah. So in other words, be a student, pay attention to what follows.
Right. Exactly. So basically, this first position speaks of, Cynthia, you got the Ace of Swords, wow. That's like a new way of thinking, cutting through, I love it, cutting through the Gordian knot, I say.
I think that's what we try to do with new readings.
Mm-hmm.
Page of Swords is about cutting through to one's truth, I think, as well. And so it's with Paul, it would be cutting through to the truth of his physical reality.
And David, your position of Seven of Cups is cutting through illusion. Not cutting through, understanding the illusions that people... Getting some insight to the illusionary aspects of the querent. Val, yours is... The Five of Swords is what makes people defeat themselves. I use the, or whatever the Five of Swords. Now, you have to realize, each deck has their own interpretation. I use the Golden Dawn, the Lord of Defeat. So if you're using a deck that says something else for the Five of Swords, Val, you understand what I'm saying? Everyone?
Yes.
So the Five of Swords is, if I'm reading it in my situation, is understanding how people defeat themselves. Bonnie, the Eight of Pentacles, regeneration of emotion, I call that, abandoned success. Bonnie, your clients, are they are people you do readings for? Do you find the Eight of Pentacles fits their description in a way?
I'll put it this way. My consistent clients, in other words, the clients that follow me on a consistent basis, because I read online, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The clients that I have that I've had for years fit right into this description, okay? Some of the new ones, no. But my regular clients, yes.
Interesting. Okay, Zoe, Seven of Wands.
Yeah.
You understand where that comes in. Seven of Wands is valor, correct? It's the guy fighting off. Yeah.
It's the story of my life. Yeah.
Story of her life. Very. How about Reverend Sue?
Six of Rods.
Yeah. Does that... Yeah. That works.
Well, I kind of like it because I've been battling terrible high sugar, and I finally listened to the doctor, and I'm feeling better now, and I feel like physically I'm winning.
Good.
And, you know, we got to have a decent vessel if we're going to do this work.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, I can get some success with this spread. You know, that'll open up some new doors of understanding.
Very good. So you see how it goes. Even, yeah, it can't. A spread cannot be success. Reverend Sue, thank you for that thought. A spread cannot be successful unless you can take it within you. It becomes part of you.
So you're not a big fan of transpersonal readings.
No, I'm saying that the transpersonal readings that we're doing here, the hermeneutics, what Paul said about transpersonal readings, I think you could take it on both levels.
Yeah, but I thought we were going to but we're taking it personally first.
Well, no, basically the question was, what does this spread have to offer us?
Right.
And everyone seems to relate to at least the first position of fire, that they could see where it can work for them, such as Bonnie saying that a lot of her old clients, the theme of abandoned success or life changes, you know, going on from one stage to another, been there, done that, now next for the next stage is true. For Reverend Sue, with her health issues, the spread confirms that. You, Cynthia, I know what you're doing, so I don't even have to go there. You know what I'm saying?
Sorry?
Yeah, you. I mean, Ace of Swords. Cynthia is a poet, a writer, you know, things.
Oh.
There is like...
You know, when I laid out the cards, I really did not lay them out with myself.
I know, but the question...
It always tells.
Yeah, it always...
Yeah, I guess so. Of course.
It always tells, because everyone has to know where, how the spread relates to them.
Oh, okay. Okay, so the question slightly changes.
It slightly changes. I mean, Paul, do you have any objection to that?
You're the boss.
No, go ahead, Paul. Say something.
Well, why don't we move on to position two?
Okay. Paul, you have the Lovers. Cynthia, what do you have?
I have the Page of Pentacles.
David?
I have the Seven of Wind, Seven of Swords.
Val?
I have Ace of Wands.
Eight of Wands?
Ace.
Ace.
Ace. Oh. Jim? Oh, Jim's an observer. Bonnie?
I have the Tower.
What was that again? The Tower?
The Tower.
Zoe?
Oh, the Tower. Okay.
The Knight of Cups.
Nine of Cups?
No, Knight.
Knight. Okay. Sorry. Knight of Cups. Reverend Sue?
Strength. Eight.
Very good. And me, I have Temperance. Okay, here. Paul Lovers, the great card of choices. Emotional choices, right, Paul?
Yeah.
Do you,
I guess it just means I get along with myself really well.
You get along with yourself. But remember, now, many people, you know, we know it as the Lovers, right? But basically, the original interpretation of this card was Perseus rescuing Andromeda from the waters of inertia.
Oh.
Okay. Hey, hermeneutics person.
Hercules got transformed into Cupid, huh?
Yeah. Perseus, okay, so now there's a mouthful just, waters of inertia, let's go back to the, wow, this is a very, I would say, Paul, this is could be a very motivating spread for you to use, you know what I'm saying, in that sense. And especially you get to the emotional reality of the situation, because look at it, Lovers and the Cups of water area. My God, intuition, feelings, needs uncertainty. Okay. Cynthia, you have the Page of Pentacles. Now, Earth does need water unless it becomes mud.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we know that. I mean, so it depends upon how you use the emotional energy here and able to make it flourish. David had Seven of Swords.
I want to go back to Cynthia's for a moment.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
The Page of Pentacles, to me, is very, it's grounded energy. I mean, it goes back to being grounded. So she's trying to ground her emotional feelings here. She's trying to ground her uncertainty, and she's trying new approaches to things.
So if she uses this tarot spread, she'll be able to realize grounded energies.
Yes, I think so.
Or help people ground their energies better.
Right.
That's what this tarot spread has to offer her.
As well as persistence.
As well as persistence. And also, the Page of Pentacles is supposed to be the highest form.
Yes, it is. When we discuss...
it's about revelation.
Wonderful stuff to move into the next.
It
is a myth. The Page of Pentacles is a myth.
Now, your clientele, do you think within this, what you have for position in 1 and 2, that this spread would help them?
Who are you asking?
You, Cynthia.
Oh. I've been working with two men in the my other than family and friends, my clientele up until now, for the past year and a half, maybe 2 years, has been two musicians. And yes, I think this also describes them very well so far.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, it's amazing.
I don't know about the rest of the cards I got, but so far, yes.
So far, you know. Go ahead, David.
Pardon me. The Page of Pentacles to me is the Shekinah. I mean, it's the revelatory card of the deck,
uh-huh.
And I think
uh-huh.
that to me that the spread is going to reveal something to us.
Uh-huh.
As we're talking about what the spread is telling.
I think it's a great gift of revelation. Yes, I do.
Right.
Now, you have the Seven of Swords, which to me is either pins down something or releases something. The Seven of Swords. The esoteric name of the Seven of Swords people is?
Lord of something, let's see, Lord of... I can't remember.
Get the books out. I got you all right.
Yeah, little Jana Rowland to the rescue here.
You know, it is really funny how we, you know, in our age, we just draw friggin' blanks. Excuse my language. That's going to be on the tape. Ay, ay, ay. Oh. It is just hilarious. Oh, okay.
You know, the thing of it for me is I've never found that languaging very
helpful. The Lord of Unstable Effort.
Yes.
Thank you, Bonnie. The Lord of Unstable Effort. Assuming the inputs.
Yeah. The Seven of Swords is unstable. Okay, it's either it pins down situations or it releases situations, depending upon its aspect, David.
Seven of Swords.
Seven of Swords, yes.
Well, it's in the water position, and it's an air thing, so it's, again, it's kind of a mystique.
Yeah, yeah. Again, do you have, how does this relate to your clients, David, the first two positions?
Well, I think it does for everybody. I don't know, just my clients. I think people tend to listen to too many points of view and don't take their own stands. And it's asking people to be focused. I think it's asking us to be focused in this spread, as a matter of fact.
So
focused on what our goal is, emotionally, if not anything else.
Also, David, I would say that this spread would work with past lives with you.
Okay.
If you do any past life work or past life readings, you know why? Because of the sevens.
Okay.
Seven to me is lessons. It's, you know, the karmic debt suit. Or rather, you know, not suit, the sevens, the number. I always see seven.
I call it the Lord of Unstable Effort, and I think Wald says that the sevens are rather edgy cards.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do bring up emotions, they do bring up feelings.
Yeah.
And I think that we have to deal with that, and maybe from the past, and that's something to look at.
Yeah, well, that when I say that the sevens, to me, that's my numerological technique. Which I shouldn't impose upon this, because you're supposed to use any tarot you want to on this, but that's my insights on that. Val, how are you doing? What do you have?
I have Ace of Wands.
Ace of Wands, okay. Ace of Wands here. Interesting. Fire and water, you better make steam, Val. you could say emotional create an emotional spark, creativity. You need to contain that energy. You got to make it work.
Aval
had the Five of Swords in position one and the Ace of Wands in position two.
Jump in and get busy. That's what I get about that.
Not only that, it just shows she has here...
I think a gift of strength is coming her way in this area.
Emotional, yeah.
Yes.
Emotional fortitude. Mm-hmm. Do you have a need for emotional fortitude, Val?
Oh, yeah, always.
Always.
What you're going to ask, girl.
But now let's go back to our transpersonal. What do you think this spread will do for Val so far? Actually,
She's moving out of a place of inner despair and moving into something that's rather bright and light and has a lot of potential for her.
Mm-hmm.
But she needs to be open.
Mm-hmm. Well, the emotional, her emotions can help her get more creative, and she needs to act on that soon with that fiery energy, because oftentimes it doesn't stick around for long periods of time.
Are we blending that fire with the water aspect?
Well, we're sort of reading how so far it's working. It'll
how
work for her.
Fire can help her in or help us in water areas. Okay.
I want to go one step further. Val, tell me something. Have you had any dental work recently?
Oh, Lord, I need so much dental work. I need to go badly.
Five of swords. Five of swords. Physical reality and health.
But how, why say dental?
Because no one has ever done the old superstition tarot in the reader's studio. But there's a lot to learn from the old cartomancy, gypsy fortune telling, grease my palm with silver type of thing. Five of swords, the five of spades is always dental work. Or head injury. Head trauma. Dental work. That type of thing. And she's got it in the physical reality. You can read each one of these. If you were to take it by as your own personal, you'll learn about your physicality.
Very interesting.
I just took the chance of asking Val about her dental work.
That's brilliant.
But you knew that correspondence, so mm-hmm. Where could we find those correspondence?
Oh, you got to go.
Get the book.
Get it.
Fortune-telling book.
Any fortune-telling book of the old, playing card. You'll have to translate it into the tarot, but you can do that.
It's a little bit of it in your book, though, Joanna.
Oh, I incorporated all that. Remember, I was brought up in Coney Island.
Mm-hmm.
The cards were read. Sometimes they were the. I remember Zolar. Do you remember the first Rider Waite was really the Zolar?
Yes, Zolar.
Either it was a crumpled type of Zolar or the Marseille deck or regular playing cards. That's all I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So, but this, I'm telling you, this from an age of 7? So, when I started reading cards, I started reading regular playing deck. So, that's how I...
It's good to read with a regular playing deck down again.
It's still a highly regarded method.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of people who continue to do it, but not so much in the Kearney or Coney Island way, very much like Thoreau, but a bit more physically based.
Mm-hmm.
I would have.
Also, as I look at those two cards, they're 5 and 1, which is 6, which goes back to making decisions. So she's at a point of making decisions for herself.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Bonnie... Now we got Bonnie's got the lightning struck tower and the eight of pentacles. So,
wow.
Bonnie, you're gonna cut through the emotional crapola, the ego between that. This can be a very powerful spread for you to use with your clientele.
I'm laughing because it's exactly what's happening in my life right now.
Really.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Wow. You see? Okay, let's...
you're having a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really.
Instead of a breakdown, you are having a breakthrough. Yes.
She had the Eight of Pentacles, the first card, in which we're doing the workout.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's done the workout, she's going to have an inflow of light into her life.
Wow.
Yes.
One thing I always say about the lightning struck tower, in which I took exception to with the Rider Waite, you see them going in jagged rocks, but sometimes there's a bale of hay, you know, there. There's you can land in a nice soft meadow. You don't have to, you know, land on jagged rocks or anything like that. It depends upon how you land with the lightning struck tower.
And doesn't it depend on your attitude about the situation?
Of course. And how emotionally you deal with the needs and the uncertainty. I remember, I will tell you the story.
It's also a great aha moment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, let's not forget, it's like, you know, that seventh chakra just opens and, you know, you're getting a lot of new ideas and other ideas have to go, you know. And I, to me, it's a great aha card.
Yeah.
I need to say that in terms of proportional time,
yes.
If we continue at this rate,
right.
We won't finish reading.
That's true. Okay, let's get on. Well, do you think I should just let everyone stay with their own cards and just wrap it up? What's the proportional time we have? Oh, 11:20. Okay. Okay, Paul, give me your air card.
The air card is the King of Wands.
Wands, and your earth card?
Judgment.
Judgment. And your motivation, your five?
That's the one on top. Or the one on the bottom?
On the bottom.
On the bottom.
So that's the sun.
Okay.
And the one on top is the five of swords.
Okay. Oh, it looks like... Okay, so your motivation... Okay. Well, no, let me go across here. King of Wands. Very interesting. Air does feed fire. So that's complimentary. That's a good position for the King of Wands to be in. It also signifies that there is a lot of creative aspects to your thinking process, dear, and that you can be a leader in your field, because your field is basically an air field. Not that the plane is going off, but you understand what I'm saying. So you better start writing, kiddo. You have thoughts conflicting. You are very good at what you're doing. And this spread will help you key into that, the communicative. But it says that your creativity rules there.
Well, one of the ways that I was reading the judgment card in the earth place was that's the judgment to the new earth or Urquela. In other words, it's where earth is transformed into its supernal or its spiritual aspect, which is
resurrection.
The resurrection issues. And resurrection reality is the easiest way to understand it is sort of cosmic level dreams or mythological level dreams.
What's so interesting with judgment, I always think of judgment as a repetition, going back to the past and making rectification or tikkun. And we know that that you are relocating to your old home base, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the long-term plan.
So that's interesting.
But
your motivations are good. You have the sun. I mean, needs that. Now, I always think of the sun as needs fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the whole thing is you better really identify those needs, though, because you got the five of swords. That's where you get into trouble. You'll be understand how you defeat yourself, even if though you don't know it now. Your revelation will come closer to it.
I'm, instead of actually doing anything, I'm likely to sleep under a tree.
You and Buddha.
Well, right.
Yeah.
So, what do you get from doing this, the transpersonal aspect of this spread? How would it work for you?
What it's telling me about reading this spread is it's saying that it's a very powerful, this could be a very powerful spread for me, and that I need to you know, pay attention to it. One is that it would from the beginning thing with the page and the two court cards says that it brings out both archetypal elements to a great deal of degree, and also interpersonal elements, emotional ones. That's the King of Wands, the Page of Swords, and that in terms of the outcome, it also says that the outcome in this case can also be oriented to being something very practical, which is a Five of Swords, an issue of being the only pip, the only in my particular spread.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the way I would read it as far as what it's telling me, and it's telling me to pay attention to those specifically the elemental powers as they relate to the elements and to the majors.
Hmm. Okay. Anyone?
Can I add something?
Yes, go ahead, Dan.
I'd like to add something. You know, to me, the Five of Swords is about old fears and doubts that you have about yourself. And the thing is, like, it's like the rest of the spread has been so powerful that it's an old pattern that you just have to let go.
Mm-hmm. Also,
yeah, just have to defeat those enemies once and for all.
Well, that's what they're not so easy to defeat, but you have all this positive energy that says you can do whatever you want to do.
Really.
Go ahead.
Time to face your inner doubt monster and conquer.
Right.
Thank you. So,
what I'm picking up here is that because of the chance, for you personally, Paul, is that you're afraid of old...
Who left the conference?
Who left the conference?
Cynthia did.
Oh. You have... Five of Swords. You have some fear about reliving past when you relocate.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah. The reason why you left the past behind and then going back to it. Yeah.
But there's a lot of positive energy. That hidden motivation card is the Sun.
Yeah, and he's a different person.
That's right.
Exactly.
And I think other people have changed too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's always a possibility of making things different.
Anyone?
When you use a spread with people, do you give them a handout like this to they can see?
I usually do it over the telephone, and I don't. You know, I do have Skype. You can give a handout if you want, because if you could scan it in. And it does. I like visuals, but many times my clients don't require it.
Okay.
And
there's so much information coming to them. I thought it'd be something they could write down on.
Yeah, I know it's a lot, but a lot of times my clients don't require visuals for some reason. I have the ability to do it, but. They don't. Just seems part of the situation. The anyone else want to share their spread?
Yes.
Since we're short on time here. Go ahead.
Yeah, if it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the moon in the air position.
This is Reverend Susie?
Yes,
okay.
This is Susie.
Okay. Go ahead. You've got the moon in the air position. Okay.
Yes. And I have the Knight of Wands. Has arrived.
Knight of Wands?
Yes.
Knight of Wands in Earth?
And judgment and hidden motives.
Sorry, my phone went dead. I had to go get another phone.
Okay. And the far, and the top?
And the Ace of Wands.
Ace of Wands. Okay.
It's really powerful, too.
Moon. Oh, boy. You'll be able to distinguish between... the moon is changeable, illusionary, you know what I'm saying? Intuitive. To have it in the position of air. Wow. You deal with a lot of crazy people?
Yes.
You do?
Lately.
Uh-huh.
I'm on a committee and or two, and oh my God.
Oh, really?
Yep.
You're going to have to get very strong with them.
Yep.
That's your Knight of Wands. I mean, here I am reading personally, you know what I'm saying? But it seems that there is, I think there is. Does anyone feel the cards are saying they would not benefit from this type of spread?
No, this is a great spread.
Oh, it's wonderful. I like it. I thought the cards that came up, as I said, I was working very transpersonally in my head.
Mm-hmm.
That came up made it an extraordinarily powerful reading and very beneficial. My God, I in fact, it's a compliment to you, Johanna.
Thank you. I always take compliments. I have Leo rising. I can't help it.
A Libra with Leo rising, all right.
Yeah.
Imposition will say your spread got, in the way the cards fell when I read for your spread, it came out strength.
Mm.
For position strength. A magician for position four. And I won't take it any further. You have
to wow.
What I'm trying to say is it came out, this is powerful. And I, you know, you could take it personally, I suppose, but I didn't have myself in my head when I did this.
Hmm. So. Now, okay, Reverend Sue, judgment. Are you reliving certain things with
uh-huh.
this?
Okay. I found my brother that I hadn't talked to in over 30 years.
Wow.
And I found out that our mom is still living.
Wow.
And she's in the house with him. And this is huge.
Ooh, I'm getting the chills.
A lot of stuff. It's kind of, yeah, it's been very interesting. Today's probably the most grounded I've been since this happened.
Mm.
You didn't know your mom was alive?
No, I thought she was gone.
Wow.
And we just got lost through a nasty divorce and attitudes and things, you know. But anyways, I know we're really short on time, but it's just been huge. And then, you know, getting to go to the Reader Studio this year has got me very excited, too.
Oh.
Hope to be there.
That's wonderful.
Hope to be there.
Yeah, I don't like to impose my own interpretations on people, but I always found the judgment card very interesting, that way of reliving.
Okay.
The past.
I've always had trouble with that, with the judgment card. I've had trouble understanding what it means.
Hmm. Now you know.
I always think of the judgment card as a new beginning.
Right.
The resurrection.
Yeah, me too.
I also see it as earned success.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Being able to, like, getting a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's very important, that second chance. People don't think the second chance is important, but it is.
Why wouldn't a second chance be important?
Because some people don't want to relive the pain.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
No, you know, we all have choices.
Oh, yeah.
But in this position of the cosmic, the hidden motivations, the judgment card is a very powerful force. This is the Akashic record talking to you, kiddo.
Yeah.
We're in number five now.
Okay, the five position is Akashic Record.
I got the wheel in that one.
Oh, shoot. Cynthia!
But as I said, I'm going to repeat myself each time. I laid the cards out for a transpersonal reading, so I'm looking at what this spread has to offer us.
Right.
And wow, it's like, could anything be more, yeah.
You're in the fifth position?
This is the hidden motivation.
Yeah.
I have the wheel there also.
That's fate at work.
How much affirmation do you need?
Yep.
Yeah.
There's where you get. That's why I use that visual. If you look at your PDFs, you'll see it's like a cosmic woo. It's like, ooh, I try. You like my...
The woo factor.
Yeah, the woo factor, very, very technically. when we're dealing with high esoteric here, terminology.
Maybe we can go to outcomes so we can summarize.
The
Ace of Rods.
Ace of Rods or Wands. Eight? Or ace?
Ace.
Number uno. Oh, great. Wow. Okay, now we know that's primary fire. Any of the aces are primary of the element. So, to me, when you... Any of the aces, you could say it's a new physical reality for you, the outcome. Because it's a yod card and it belongs to fire, a new environment, a new bodily experience, new healthish too, getting yourself very healthy.
Oh, I like that.
Are you exercising?
I'm starting today.
Starting today. Well, do exercise that you love to do.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you love to dance, Reverend Sue, dance.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Don't do exercise that's a drudgery because it won't work for you. I'll tell you that right now. You need something that actually gets... The Ace of Wands to me is a very sexual card. It has to get to, like, belly dancing, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. It is a very sexual card.
Yeah. So I like, thinking of the physicality and getting your health together and everything like that, it's almost like the song goes, sexual healing.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, you hit it.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. I'm glad that makes sense. Okay, so we may anyone else want to contribute?
Well, I have the devil in the hidden spaces.
Ooh,
bless your heart.
Yeah, God bless him.
You have the devil in his mouth, but okay, Zoe, give me your cards across.
Seven of Wands, Knight of Cups, Justice, and the World.
Justice, World, Devil,
and Strength above.
And Strength. Okay. The Devil within, kiddo. How you bind yourself up?
Yeah.
Okay. How you're your own worst enemy type of thing?
Now, Joanna, do you know me?
I know you. That's why. That's why I have to... But you have to recognize that. Knight of Cups. You got the Knight of Cups in water.
Wow.
Ah.
Yeah, me.
You have a lot of emotional... You're in an emotionally good place, kiddo.
Well, I interpret that as meaning that very often my emotions are out in the world.
Well, you're expressive. The knights are very expressive. they take action on their emotions.
Yeah.
Remember, nights move. They activate. Their emotions are very active so you'll be able to with the spread, you'll be able to deal with understanding how emotions motivate for you. Actually become actions, rather. How your emotions lead to actions, good or bad. Good or bad. You know what I'm saying?
In your deck, the Sacred Rose, which I'm using, the knight is a supplicant. He's like beseeching.
Yeah.
Of love or whatever. And I have on the bottom of the deck my guardian angel, a temperance card.
Mm-hmm.
And lately I've been trying to talk to my spirit guides and my angel and apologize for the mistakes I've made. Saying, I know you're working really hard, and I've been deaf, dumb, and blind to your influence. God bless you. To hang in there, trying to have a relationship. And that's how I see that. I mean, I see those three cards connected. I've been in the dark a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I really have been in the dark.
Well, okay. That speaks to your devil.
I have been pulling the wool over my eyes. What's that expression? When you get old, you mix up expressions. So I mixed metaphors. The hand of God stepped in and kind of thing.
But
so I've been, I feel that I've been kept in the dark a lot by negative motivations in those around me, and I've put myself in places where I don't belong because of that, and stayed there too long.
Yeah. Remember, nights do move on.
They do move on.
Emotionally, you have to move on. But also, the Knight of Cups is Galahad. Right? In the Grail legend?
Huh?
And anyone want to say anything about that? The Grail legend and Sir Galahad?
He truly fought. I mean, it was Percival who sort of failed to ask the question, the right question. But Galahad, for all his sins or whatever, as you put it, he really was a successful knight in the end.
Mm.
Well, because I see him aligned with the vertical axis rather than the horizontal.
That's interesting.
Because the vertical is the ideal in my mind, and he really is the height of the ideal.
You mentioned something about angelic powers. Many of the angels are in armor. The archangels.
Yeah.
They are depicted in ceremonial magic as being knights. Now, the archangel of water is Raphael. You may want to do some research on that archangel.
That's the whole Tobit story also.
Mm-hmm. And knowing the situation. And, well, that's hermeneutics. What is the Tobit story?
The Tobit story is how the angel Raphael led Tobit to find the fish who was going to cure his father's blindness. And I think it's considered somewhat apocryphal. There's a great deal of art dedicated to the Tobit story from the Renaissance. And the Tobit story was a reference by Mary as being a big part of what Wake had in mind for the Rider-Waite Smith deck.
One of the things we're going to do someday, if I live forever, is we're going to read the Tobit story and do some tarot investigating with it. Both to go back to some of the symbolism that's in the Rider-Waite. Forget which suit he used in particular. I think Coleman Smith references one of the suits in particular around the Tobit story. But
we can look it up in Mary's archives because it is there.
Mm. And
it's a good story to know for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the earliest examples we have of a Hebrew novel.
Right. Good way to put it. Great way to put it.
Zoe, you have Justice in Air. Very interesting.
Now, it's interesting that Justice is blindfolded, so blind in your deck. And I sort of have been kept in the dark, you know, the blind. But the Justice was my card of the day in my three-card spread. So
uh-huh.
I'm interested to see that it came up again.
Yeah, and it's very, I think it's very powerful in the position of air, too.
My Libra rising, and mm-hmm. I am a fighter for justice. I always like the underdog. That is my motivation for not only my thinking, but also my emotions.
Right.
I react very strongly, very emotionally to issues of justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you have the world in the area of Earth, which is very nice.
Earth is Earth.
The world, you know, many times I think of the world as a doorway's opening. That's an old gypsy belief, you know, that doorways will open for you if you implement this type of reading, if you want to do it transpersonal, or it will you will understand different levels. The whole thing about this type of spread is that you have that people work on several levels. No one works purely on one level. When a person comes to you, they're working with, from their environment, what their environment is telling them, what they know is happening. I'm losing my job. I was given my pink slip, right?
Yeah.
Where the, then you have to deal with their emotions, how they're handling it emotionally, how they're handling it mentally, and what they plan, you know, the dichotomy between emotions and mind can be really crippling. Or it could be really, motivate. Also, what they're doing from a past life, it's going to work out with the five, and how they're proceeding. So, in with the four position, so this is what's going on, and then the outcome. Hey, the outcome may not be great, but it may lead to other things. For instance, a gambler may come to you and they do win the lottery and you'll say, oh yeah, you're going to win the lottery. Yeah, you're going to, you know, hit the jackpot. And then he has the Five of Pentacles.
Uh-huh.
Guess what, fella? You may be gambling it all away.
In what position? In the outcome?
In the outcome, the six.
Okay.
You have strength. Zoe has strength there. So there is definitely, she has in the sixth, a very great integrative card. The spiritual will overcome whatever physical challenges she is facing.
Now, Zoe, all of these were major arcana cards. Were you using just the 22 cards or what?
No, we used the whole deck.
You use the whole deck. You use the whole deck.
I have four majors.
Me too, Zoe.
Well, what's so interesting, if you have majors, majors to me, when you're doing a spread like this, are rites of initiation. So they cannot... Excuse me?
I thought you said sevens were.
Sevens are lessons and minor arcana.
Yeah, that's the lessons, yeah.
The but majors are very, very important. When you see a major come into any of the elemental power positions, take heed. And also, if you see it in the five, I mean, you know, the majors, you really have to say, wow, something's going on here.
What I got for the reading, I don't, you could say for myself, because that seems to be the way you're working, but for the reading I got the Hangman in the outcome.
Ah. Well, now, the Hangman...
That was an interesting card.
Yeah, I think so too, and I know you too well. What would you think? I'm going to leave it open to other people to interpret Cynthia's hangman.
I'll tell you what I
actually,
said.
Actually, aren't you going to hang yourself next week, Cynthia, when you do your
introduction
to the...
Thanks a lot, Paul. I think it means that the reading opens up a lot of unconscious issues for people.
Okay, but now I will have someone else interpret it.
Okay. I think if it's a timing issue, the time is not yet. That's what I think. And something is in suspension, whether it's her thought, her motivation, the time, creative juices. Something is brewing but not coming forward yet.
And what if we had put, because I had, frankly, my cards slipped, and I wasn't sure which one to put in the outcome, the five or the six. What if the wheel were in the outcome and the hangman I'm being perfectly honest with you.
We know
it's weird. That's why I bring it up.
Yeah, the wheel is another timing card.
Right.
So, that's also a karmic card.
Karmic. Okay.
I think it's interesting, too, Cynthia, is that the hangman goes between Gevurah and Hod on the Tree of Life.
Right.
And it goes between limitations and communications. So
okay.
It's like try not to limit yourself with your communications or vice versa.
Right.
We're at the it's time to summarize, please. We've got 10 minutes.
No, I got 10 minutes. Okay. I hope you use this spread. Get back to me on it if you have any questions on its use. I'm always available for help. People who know me know that. I don't think I have to say that. And just email me, and I'll help you out with certain until you're more comfortable with it. But I have found this as a great tool, and I hope you agree from this little synopsis, you know, that we have here, that this can really bring your readings to a new level. I'm going to ask a consensus from everyone here. Let's go down the line. Paul?
Yeah, I think that it can be a very powerful way to do the readings, and I just can't wait to get some guinea pigs out there to try it.
Right. Right, exactly. The guinea pigs are the main issue. When you do your guinea pigs, you'll understand how powerful it is. And that's one thing I could tell you. Cynthia?
Yes. Well, you know, I'm a little confused because I do believe the intention that we lay out at the beginning of the reading creates the reading, and mine was the transpersonal issue, and we read them rather personally. So what you're saying is that this particular reading can be multivalent, that we can read it transpersonally, we can read it personally, but if I understood you, Johanna, you prefer to read it personally for the reading.
I do. Well, I shift gears. Personally, you don't have to cut any more cards. This could be the spread, and you can go from with the Aquarian. You can go from one issue to another. You just keep those cards out.
I think that's a great idea. In other words, work two decks.
Yeah, work from. Instead of saying, oh, let me cut the cards again for your love life. Let me cut the cards again for this. No, you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see where your money position is. Everything could be read within the positions of the card, this one spread.
So you don't use two decks?
No, you don't have to use two decks. I have done readings just with this one spread. I'm talking about an hour and a half readings sometimes.
Wow.
You know, just shifting gears and things like that. But if you want to keep cutting, you can keep cutting, too. You could just take, say, for instance, someone just wants to know about their love life. You just take the position of what would be considered. You could take the love life card, the water card out, but then you'd be doing them a disservice because of wants and needs. You know what I'm saying? You have to really understand that that there is a bridge in everyone's psyche between wants and needs, that they confuse emotions with thoughts and thoughts with emotions.
Well, it's understandable because one comes out of the other and the other feeds into the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. David? I think we're... Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, no, I'm going to use this. I'm going to use this next week for my class, as a matter of fact, and see how it works. I think it's a great spread. I think it was very informative for all of us today, and I have some real insight for myself as I'm going through it.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look at this from a more personal point of view, Jeff.
Okay.
I ended up with the Six of Earth on the outcome, which is really nice in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Emperor at number four, so I'm gonna really work with this.
Very good, very good. Val,
I like how compact it is. You cover every area you could ever think of in just six cards.
Good, good. I'm glad. I'm glad you find that a benefit. Jim is an observer. Bonnie.
Joanna?
Oh, Jimmy, would you like to speak?
Well, I'd like to obviously, I guess, compliment you on what you did here today. I'm hearing some professional veteran tarotists speak positively. Tell me again, or maybe a little bit more, about where this came from. I know you said at the beginning it was a variation on a Golden Dawn
mm-hmm.
work, but how did it come to you? How did you arrive at this spread?
Well, I have a spirit guide that Zoe knows of, Cynthia. I don't know if David or Paul know, and the spirit guide dictated it to me. And I call my spirit, I have a whole other class thing called the Guardian that...
so powerful. We should do that sometime, too.
Oh. That is, and which has been on my, been with me for a very long time. So this was basically dictated. I wanted a spread that I could, that really got, I'm the type of person that cuts to the chase, Jim. You know me. You've heard me on the Mott situations. So I got a spread that cuts to the chase.
Muddy mm-hmm. has arrived.
I wanted to emphasize one thing is that in closure, Cynthia, you want to say a couple of words about your thing for next week?
Oh, yes,
Buddy
sure.
Buddy was here this week is welcome to come next week.
Oh, please do. Please do. The more the merrier, obviously. I'm going to be working with something that I call the Court Card Oracle, and it is a very transpersonal kind of reading, but it is something where I talk about the choice points for each of the positions of the spread. So what your options are, how quickly you need to move to get, so to speak, the most out of what the cards, the Court Cards, are revealing. I'm working with a Major, I'm working with a Pip, and I'm working with the Court Card as the central card. So body language, eye gaze, and whatnot are part of it. But the biggest part of it is the master number. I'm looking at the Court Cards as having a master number, a transition number, and the master number I call its cosmic number, the transition number I call its Kairos number, and which is the next highest number, and the lowest number belongs to Kronos. There's no judgment with the spread in terms of, you know, there are no better cards, there are no worse cards. I'm not privileging anything but the core cards in this particular spread. And there are 9 cards to the entire reading. We can use the major, the pip, and the core card as the central, or we can do 3 core cards. And we're going to play with those concepts. There is a chart I'll be sending out once again to Paul, telling you what the 3 values, the 3 vibrations, if you will, the 3 transitions of the core cards are numerologically as I see it. And it's another language, another way to language the core cards, which I think have been largely ignored. And a lot of people are really scared of core cards, and I happen to have a particular affinity for them. And it's a work in progress. I've been working on it for 2 years, and I think I've gotten it to a point where it's simplified enough. I've been working with it with some family, and I've been working it with my 2 musician friends who seem to really respond to it very strongly. So I felt, oh, this would be great to work with readers and see how you respond to it, and how I would be curious to see how you feel it would be beneficial to your clients and yourself. And I think we'll have a lot of fun with it.
So that's next week. If anybody hasn't sent me their email address, you can get it through tarohermeneutics.com. You can contact me through that. And make sure that I have your email address, and I will send you out the handout. And if you can come next week, I think you'll have a good time. Johanna?
Yeah.
You did a wonderful job. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm available. Have people. Please, I love... I'm so happy that people are appreciative of this this contribution to the tarot community. And please get back to me. Either call me. You can call me personally. I mean, almost everyone has free long distance. 718-373-9867 if you want to talk about your spread. If you like,
718-373-9867. Thank you.
And or otherwise, you can email me at johannagsherman.com. That's off my website, so in case you can't forget the email, just go to my website and I'll bring it up. Just remember there's a G there, Johanna G, as for Gargiulo, Sherman.com, or through Ning. And hopefully we'll get a recording out also, right, Paul?
Yeah, well, this has been recorded, and I don't think it's going to need too much serious editing. So there were a few people that requested that if we could make a recording of this, we would. Johanna will probably have it available through her website, and maybe available through my website, too.
So this, thank you. I want to thank Paul for this opportunity. Paul's graciousness and love of knowledge is really a gift to all. I am privileged to be considered a friend and colleague.
Well, yes, we do have a lot of good times. And if people have this time available, definitely consider joining us for Promethea, which will be our next inquiry. It's a free class. It does go on forever. I mean, we'll probably have at least 32 sessions in which we will read the chapter and then discuss its various elements. And then we'll use the tarot to query our insights from that chapter. And eventually the... Promethea goes.
Okay.
Bye.
Keep me posted. Bye-bye, people.
Bye-bye. Maddie.